our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing the stanzas 1 and 4 of Psalter 72. Lord, hear me when I pray, and answer me in grace. Oft as I hear thee say, come ye and seek my face. My heart and lips their answer speak. Thy face, Jehovah, will I seek. 1 and 4 of Psalter 72. From Scripture we wish to read from the last book of the Bible, Revelation, and there of the last chapter, chapter 22, Revelation 22. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still, and he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. The congregation, let us now try to seek the Lord's countenance and ask him for a blessing. Most holy, most righteous, most gracious Lord, it is by renewal that the doors of the house of prayer have been opened unto us. It is by renewal that the congregation has come up and placed itself under the proclamation of thy testimony. It is by renewal that we are called upon to seek thy countenance. Lord, may we then ask, wilt thou give by renewal opening an access unto that throne of grace, an access through that new and living way, whereby we may come unto thee? And wilt thou also give by renewal opening in thy word and testimony? Oh, by renewal, Lord, wilt thou grant something from heaven here below? Thou knowest we have come together for a day of seeking thy countenance, a day of asking a blessing upon all our temporal labors, that we may receive the food and drink that is convenient for us, that is allotted unto us by thy unerring counsel. Lord, may we do that, and once again, we have not deserved the least of thy considerations. It is not in us that we can merit or claim anything. Oh, if thou comest to instruct thy people in that way, they learn that they have deserved no other place but the lowest one in hell. That is what we have merited. And Lord, for a people that has to go to hell, thou didst send thy Son, and he descended into hell for them, closing that awful abyss. And though they may fear that they will still come there, yet there also comes in their heart, the one more, the other less, a living hope. A living hope that shall not be ashamed, that they shall one time enter into the realms of never-ending glory. O hell deservers, receive a place by grace in heaven. For their place and punishment has been taken by him whose blessed name is Jesus, the surety, the redeemer, the everlasting deliverer. Oh, that now also in this evening and in the season that lies before us, thou wouldest hear the petitions of all thy children dear, for they are taught to pray, Thou dost give unto them that spirit of grace and supplications, and therefore they shall begin to cry and supplicate for mercy. Lord, wilt thou then in this evening come and attend thy word with power divine, that even in this evening, one may be fastened as a pearl on the mediatorial crown of King Jesus, that in this evening thou wouldest come and say hitherto and no further, that in this evening thou wouldest open the eyes of one who is blind to hear and see what they miss for that great eternity, what they miss by their own doings, their own fault. Ah, Lord, that thou in this evening would translate one from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of thy dear Son. Lord, snatch one yet from the burning, and wilt thou yet save such a soul? May in this evening an arrow be shot at a venture, and may it strike between the joints of the harness. Lord, oh, we have a season that lies behind since the previous Thanksgiving Day. But has there now been one converted in truth by thee and unto thee? Oh, that each one would give heed to examine our soul, whether a wonder has taken place, yes or no. Lord, it is not yet too late, for we all are in that present day of salvation. Oh, that in this evening room may be made in the heart of thy people, that that only Redeemer may be formed, that he may be known as he is suitable and necessary, all-sufficient, and so very precious, so desirable, so amiable, so altogether willing. Ah, Lord, the wonders of that Savior can never be told, can never be extolled, can never be magnified high enough, that then thy Zion would come to realize that in him alone is life, through his suffering and through his death, that they then might die with him and come to an end altogether. Lord, those who lose their life shall save it. But that is the great riddle for that people. With their mind they can say behind death is life, but in the experience death means to be separated from thee forever. But what a wonder that thou givest a holy bowing, an accepting of the punishment of their iniquity, that the time does come for such a people to get that they may lay their hand upon that only sacrifice, and that all their sins and all their woe are upon him, and he dies for them, and then to receive life from his life. Lord, the wonders are so great. Wilt thou lead thy church into those ways? Remember us. Take care of the congregation. Perhaps there is a people that is so disappointed in this day. They have heard something. They have read something. They have asked something. They have spoken something. But Lord, they say that thou wert silent, and they bow under it, and they must accept it. And yet Their heart longs for a word, for a token, for a glimpse, for a smile from thy countenance. Lord, remember thy Zion in this evening, that they may receive eyes to behold him, that they may receive eyes of faith to behold in that land afar off, Emmanuel's land, that they receive a longing in their soul to depart, to be with Christ, which is far better. Lord, wilt thou give in this evening, that thou wilt show us thy glory. Be done with us. Lord, take care of the prodigal sons and daughters. Wilt thou seek those wandering sons and wandering daughters? Convert them before it be too late. And Lord, give yet a few Aarons and Hurs in this night. Give yet a few that begin to preach along. Wilt thou yet grant what is needed in this evening? Lord, strength and help. Fresh oil, and by renewal, thou art good, and thou doest good. Lord, may we experience it, and prove it, to the glory of thy beloved name, to the magnifying of thy beloved Son, and that the beloved Spirit may also come and work in our souls to comfort us. Lord, hear us and ask us. Wilt thou hear us and wilt thou bless us? Remember us in mercy. We ask it in the pardoning of our sins. For Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Psalter 110. This stands as 1, 2, and 3. Thy tender mercies, O my Lord, withhold not, I implore. But let thy kindness and thy truth preserve me evermore. For countless ills have compassed me, my sinful deeds arise. Yea, they have overtaken me, I dare not raise my eyes. 1, 2, and 3 of 110. Come, Lord, and tarry not. Has that ever been your petition? Has that ever been pressed out of your bosom? Come, Lord, and tarry not. Oh, it is not a long petition, but it is a comprehensive petition, for it contains everything that you and I need on the way to eternity. Come, Lord, and tarry not. For without that Savior, we must perish and die. But with that Savior, and near that Savior, and in that Savior, it is well for time and for eternity. It is prayer day this day. And then the needs of land and nation, the needs for crops and labors, the needs of church and of school, oh, we have tried to lay them before the Lord. But is there one here tonight who has one chief petition? Come, Lord, and tarry not. Is that not most necessary? And is that not most desirable, congregation? Come, Lord, and tarry not. What does that now ask for? Why is that so fervent? Oh, if the Lord does not come, then I pine, then I perish, and it is lost. And the longing for that communion in the heart of the poet is so great. Then he ends, come, Lord, and tarry not. There is a people that is not a stranger to that petition. They ask it so many times. And why? Why do they continually ask that same petition? Would not the Lord grow weary of that? You know what that people says? I wander away from the Lord so many times. I forsake him and I forget him days without number. And then there is only one way back. Come, Lord, and tarry not. I cannot find the way back. I do not know how to end my steps. But Lord, if thou wilt come, then it shall be well, for thou shalt take me by heart and my hand, and thou shalt lead me. Oh, time and again, the Lord will give unto his wandering people that petition in their heart. Come, Lord, and tarry not. And therefore, congregation, let me ask it again, has it ever become your petition? Has the Lord taught you what it is to ask for his coming? No longer thy coming delay. This evening, we wish with the Lord's help to speak about such a petition. The last petition that is recorded in God's word. Revelation 22, verse 20. These words, Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, thus afar. The final petition. First, the prompting of that petition. Secondly, the prayer in that petition. And finally, the promise upon that petition. So the final petition, the prompting of that petition, the prayer in that petition, and the promise upon that petition. Our text is from the last book of the Bible. It was written by John, the old apostle, the last remaining one of the 12 who were sent out to preach the gospel in all the world. He was bishop of the congregation of Ephesus by this time. He was old, approximately 90 years old. And under the persecution unleashed by Emperor Domitian, he was taken, he was captured, and he was banished. And he writes in Revelation 1, that was for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. What was now the intention of Satan? To close the mouth of God's servant. He should not preach unto the people. He should not comfort them. He should not be used as an instrument to convert sinners unto God. But the Lord had other thoughts. The Lord was ahead of Satan. The Lord greatly favored his servant John while he was banished on that rocky island of Patmos. He was lonely, and yet he was not alone, because he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And the Lord favored him with marvelous visions, with great and mighty visions. And these he wrote down for the strengthening, for the encouragement, and for the consolation of the church of God, those seven churches in Asia Minor, and the church of all ages, so that in the sorrow, and in the tribulation, and in the persecution, and in all the afflictions and the assaults from Satan, they may be strengthened and encouraged. John receives seven series of seven visions. And then the last one is recorded for us in this last chapter of the Bible. It says in verse 8 at the beginning that John saw these things and that he heard them. And see, then this book full of visions that need to be declared, that is true. But that was a book so beloved in the first centuries when there were great and terrible persecutions. It is a word for a people that is in the strife. These sayings are faithful and they are true. And the entire book of Revelation, as the whole scripture, as that mark, it is faithful and it is true. And now the last petition which lies before us this evening, the last prayer day in the Bible, is also part of these words that are faithful and that are true. It is a remarkable word, is it not? For who would ever pray, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus"? There is not one who will ask that petition of himself. There is not one who will ever beg the Lord, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." That is so high, that is so pure, that is so spiritual. And if we are going to ask this question, then we must be able to meet the Lord in righteousness and in peace. So you can imagine that even many of God's children will not so readily say, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." It is a remarkable petition. And unless the Lord prompts it, unless the Lord works that petition in the heart, no, we shall not come to that petition. There is something else. Why this is a remarkable word. I said it is the last. It is the final petition. And this can be then the final petition in the life of God Zion. Now you must have had a first petition. Then there must have come a first petition in you and in my life. And do you know what your first petition was? Have you been taught to pray? Has there come a time in your life, young and old, that you have learned to pray in truth unto God? Congregation, you know where you hear that petition. I shall mention some examples. There stands Peter in the court of the temple, and he draws a bow at a venture, and he shoots an arrow, many arrows. And there were 3,000 that were struck by these arrows on the day of Pentecost. And if you listen closely, then you hear that first petition. Men and brethren, what must we do? Perplexed, not knowing what to do anymore. That is how the Lord begins in conversion. Then we do not know it anymore. And later, God's children learn that they never learn, that they will have to ask time and again, what must we do? You see there Paul and Silas in the inner prison, in the low dungeon, their feet in the stocks, and their backs have been bloodied by the scourging, by the beating, but they are singing the praises of God. And the prisoners heard it, and the keeper of the prison is sound asleep, and then comes God. And there is an earthquake, and the whole prison shakes on its foundations, and that keeper of the prison also awakes, not only naturally, but he awakes in his heart. And he realizes that the prisoners could be gone. And he takes a sword and he is ready to slay himself. But the apostle says, do thyself no harm. And then he jumps in and he asks for a light. And then you hear that first petition. Men and brethren, what must I do to be saved? Ah, congregation, we could multiply those examples. But when the Lord comes with grace, that is through His Spirit, and then the Spirit breathes into the heart, and then immediately the heart begins to breathe out unto God, and that is prayer. That is prayer, congregation. Then it is, help me, convert me, turn me. Lord, wilt thou give life unto me? Wilt thou show me thy grace? Oh, shall I mention one more such first petition? It is on Golgotha, remember me. When thou art come into thy kingdom, could it be any lower? That thief and murderer had admonished his fellow murderer and said, we are in this condemnation justly, but this man has done nothing amiss. He bowed under his sentence and he accepted his sin and guilt. But then he says, remember me. He does not dare to say, convert me. He does not dare to say, bring me into heaven. But only remember me. For he is not worthy that he should be remembered at all. And then that blessed answer, you know, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. Oh, congregation, I ask it. And inquire now in your heart, did you ever pray for the first time? Did you ever pray in truth and ask the Lord? Oh, you know what you then need? Then you need instruction. Then you need leading. Then you need guidance. Then you need light. Then you need the Lord's mercy. Then you desire His favor. Then you desire forgiveness of all your iniquities. Oh, then you bow in the dust. And then the tears will come from your eyes. And then there is that godly sorrow that worketh a repentance not to be repented of. Oh, then you will seek an inner chamber. And then you bow those knees. And then there are times you dare not sleep at night lest you awake in eternity in hell. There is a time in the life of that people that there is a first petition. Does it continue? Does it continue? The experience of that people is that it only continues if the Holy Spirit administers them with grace from on high. But there are seasons that the Spirit will withdraw and their prayers diminish. They are not so lively anymore. They say some words. They become weary of it. They say, my wife is weary of it, and the Lord must loathe these words. They are not even prayers in truth. They end up so prayerless. They have to sail with philpot, that they have less prayer and less religion than the saddle of the horse on which he was riding. They begin to pray for a prayer. It is true. The congregation, that is now the way of the Lord to teach them that for every true prayer there has to be need, and for every true prayer they need the administration of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes that Spirit comes in their heart with groanings they cannot be uttered. And they believe that they are not even prayers anymore. But then to read in Romans that those groanings are prompted by the Spirit of the Lord. Ah, congregation, then you see that the Spirit is the one that prompts any true prayer. And if there is now a beginning, then He will continue to teach those people to pray. And not that they ever can pray. Not that they ever have a diploma in prayer. It is time and again. You hear that from those disciples. Lord, teach us to pray. And that was after the Lord had taught them and taught them and taught them. And what does the Apostle Paul say? We know not how to pray as we ought. The Lord teaches His people to be beggars. And He loves beggars. And He desires to hear the petition of those beggars. Oh, congregation, it was a last prayer. Yes. But that prayer was prompted. That was prompted by the Spirit of the Lord. But what now precedes it? I read here, even so come Lord Jesus. But then at the beginning of that verse, He which testifieth of these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. So it is upon the words of Christ that John prays, even so come, Lord Jesus. That was not of himself. Oh, and if there is now a beginning in your life, congregation, then it is a wonder if you are led to the place of John. For John knew the one who testified of these things. It is a people that learn more and more that they are lost and they need someone to save them. There may come in their heart a time that they hear of that blessed name, like that woman with the issue of blood. There may come a time that they hear that the Lord has laid up help with one that is mighty and he is strong to save. But who is he? Where can I find him? That is a people that learn in the experience that they can only receive what the Lord gives unto them. And then they cry sometimes to the heavens, Lord, rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might flee away before thy presence. That is a people who would desire to pull that Savior down, and yet so helpless, so hopeless in and of themselves. They desire, it comes so low, a token and a glimpse. And if they could but see a glance of him, that they may see him through the lattice of that word. Oh, then they learn to pray, no longer thy coming delay. Do you know of that? Have you been exercised in those prayers, congregation? I read, he which testifieth of these things saith, surely I come quickly. That is now that Savior that has been revealed unto John indeed. Yes, John came under the preaching of John the Baptist. And then it was a time in his life that that Savior was revealed unto him. There was a time in his life that he received that great grace, that he received to see that risen Savior. That he also saw him ascending up into heaven. And now that glorified mediator is speaking unto him. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. And see, by the Spirit, he knows that Savior. And as we said, it is the Spirit that prompts the prayer in the hearts of God's people. But now when that Savior appears, and when that Savior comes, oh, then it is that coming of the Lord that also causes him to call upon his holy name. Oh, that is for John such a wonder. The Lord has not forgotten him. No, it was a blessing for him that he heard that voice of Prince Emmanuel by renewal. For who was it that testifieth of these things? Oh, you read that in verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify of these things unto the churches. He said, I am the root and the offspring of David. I am the bright and the morning star. I am the Alpha and the Omega. Oh, John knew who that Savior was in his names, in his offices, in his states, in his natures. Oh, he knew what he had accomplished also for him. And then these words testifying, surely I come quickly. That was not an angel. That is a word worthy only of that Savior. I said John knew him, yes. Go to chapter 1 of Revelation. And then you hear the apostle saying unto him, who loved us and washed us in his blood. Ah, congregation, does he then not know him? Because he saw him near the river Jordan, when the Baptist spoke of him the second time, behold the Lamb of God. And that second time those words entered into his soul. And then the 10th hour came in his life. Master, Rabbi, where dwellest thou? He desired to stay with that Savior all along. His eye was open and he was knit unto that Savior, and he followed him, even unto the point that he saw that Savior nailed upon the cross, He saw that the soldier pierced his side and pierced his heart, and he testifies that he saw blood and water coming out of him. Did he not see him as the risen Savior? Did he not know that Jesus was risen when he came with Peter to the grave? And it says, and John saw and he believed. And later the Savior appeared unto him, our congregation. And now he knew who that Savior was. And he testifieth these things. Oh, he knew that voice. That voice he could recognize one in a thousand. What I say, one in any other voice. If there is the voice of your beloved congregation, then you shall know that voice and recognize that voice. And it will set your heart aflame when you hear his voice. Oh, he which testifieth of these things saith, surely I come quickly. Those words were not spoken by Christ for the first time either. You read them already in Revelation chapter 3. And you read it in this last chapter of the Bible three times over. Verse 7. Behold, I come quickly. And in verse 12, and behold, I come quickly. And now for the third time, that trumpet sounds. Surely, I come quickly. It was then for the third time, in this last vision, in this final appearance of the Savior unto John, that three times over, this word is stated. Is it not a wonder, congregation? And he does not say, surely I shall come quickly. No. It says, surely I come quickly. You could say, surely I am coming even now, and I come quickly. Surely I come quickly. That surely has the same force as the word yes. It is positive. It is true. Surely, yes, I come quickly. It bears no doubts. Surely, I come quickly. Why does the Lord now want to come so quickly? Why is the Savior expressing that longing? Ah, he desires to yield up his kingdom unto his Father, that his Father may be magnified thereby. But he also has a bride. He also has a beloved spouse. And now Christ desires to be one with his people, to embrace them and to bring them into that banqueting house that is above, where his banner over them shall be love. Oh, then Christ desires the glory of his Father and the communion with his beloved bride. And that is now all his children. Surely I come quickly. And when shall he come? Quickly. But then we must not calculate. Then we must not count as man counts, because we are creatures of time. But God is the God of eternity, and he is above time. With the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. That word quickly also means suddenly. It means unexpectedly. It means as such an hour as you do not count upon it. But that word quickly also means certainly. It shall come. Surely I come quickly. And it means then us, it means then essentially that he comes at the right time. The Lord never comes too late and he never comes too early. Surely I come quickly. Congregation, for the church here in the strife, it sometimes seems as if the Lord delays his coming. As if he, as it were, has postponed his coming. But that is not true. Because the Lord does not go by our timetable. The Lord has his counsel to fulfill. And then he shall come at the right time. Surely I come quickly. Oh, twice over in this chapter he says, behold, I come quickly, behold, I come quickly. And now it is surely I come quickly. It is to affirm, it is to give greater strength to that word, to reach the heart of that John, to reach the heart of his people that are waiting for him. Surely I come quickly. And then he follows it up with that word, Amen. That is an oath. That is a word that means surely it shall come to pass. It is the same as what you hear in Matthew 28. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. There is no doubt. It is sure. Because I am the God of oath and covenant. I am the God of truth. Oh, surely I come quickly. It is the oath that the Lord Jesus himself swears that he is coming indeed. Have you now ever heard that word, my friends? Has there now ever been wrought in your heart that longing for the coming of the Savior? That is something which is not strange in the hearts of God's people. And the Savior can come in various ways. I leave that now for a moment. But that is now the common golden thread that you can find in the life of all God's children. Adam and Eve. Did they not long for the coming of that seed? What did Eve say when Cain was born? I have gotten a man child of the Lord. She thought the seed of the woman had already come. And then you can go and travel through the whole Old Testament history. That desire of Noah was also that the Lord would come and send one to comfort us from all the misery here below. You find it in the Advent promises. It was the desire still in those 400 years, even before that when Israel was in captivity. And then finally at last, oh, then you see the Savior coming in the manger of Bethlehem. That is what is desired, and that is what is needed, congregation. And now when the Lord says this, behold, surely I come quickly. It is to encourage a waiting people. It is to strengthen them in all the tribulation that they have to go through. You hear, as it were, the Savior saying, though I tarry, wait for me. I shall not tarry, but I shall come. Oh, through the oppressions, through the tribulations, wait for me, because surely I come quickly. These are the final words of Jesus recorded in the scriptures. Are they not blessed words? And do you not see that those words prompt such a petition? The petition that John now is given to utter, even so come, Lord Jesus. Oh, no sooner has Jesus finished speaking than it is John's turn that he may speak. And John by this time is old. He has come to the end of his earthly sojourn. He dwells already on the brink of eternity, and it will not be long anymore, or he shall depart out of this life. And what do you hear John saying at the end of his life? Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Oh, remember three times over, that word came already unto John. And I read in verse 7, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. So the first time, when John heard that Jesus was coming quickly, he had to keep the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And is there now a people that understands it in the experience? When the Lord says something to you, when the Lord speaks unto you, are you then not given to meditate upon those words? Oh, then you say them again. Then you savor those words. Then you ponder those words. And then you may know something of the sweetness that lies contained in those very words. Because those words that the Savior speaks are words of truth, of love, and of mercy. And then the second time, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. The Lord shall come quickly, and then a reward, yes. That is for God's children a gracious reward, not a reward of merit. But you find that in Matthew 25, giving that cup of cold water to one of the Lord's children, to visit one in the prison, or to help the poor of Christ, it is as if he has done it unto me. And then that fruit of grace, that shall also bring the Lord to give that reward of grace unto such a person. But there are so many who are not God's children. And when Christ now comes quickly, what reward shall he give you, my friend? What reward shall he give you for all the sins and for all the rebellion and for all the unbelief and for all the sins that you have committed? Oh, then it shall not be a prayer like John. If the Lord will come quickly, then you will seek to flee away. And now that third time when the Lord Jesus affirms, surely I come quickly, then you see that prayer is prompted. Prayer follows upon that congregation. So here is now a child of God on the brink of eternity, about ready to enter heaven and to stand before God. And in his hope there has been, in his heart there has been wrought that hope that will never make ashamed. And he shall hope unto the end, but meanwhile it is still praying. And what does he then say, congregation? Or you see, as it were, John turning to Jesus. And what does he then say? Congregation, then you hear from the heart and from the lips of John a sweet echo of what Christ has said. Because Christ said, behold, surely I come quickly. Amen. And what does John now begin with? That is that same word, Amen. In the original, you can read it with the first part. In the original, you can read it with the second part. In congregation, the church learns when Christ speaks in their heart, that lodges, that echoes, and then they may return that same word unto the Lord. When Jesus says Amen, then John is in holy agreement, in holy harmony. There is wonderment in his life and in his heart. If now my Jesus has spoken Amen, then I desire to affirm that also, and I say Amen. Oh, congregation, he repeats what Jesus is repeating. Have you ever echoed the words of the Savior that he has spoken in your heart? That you tasted those words, that you were delighted in those words, and that you had to repeat those words once again? And then Jesus says it as a sure pledge and oath, and John may testify it by faith. Amen. And he continues, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Even so, in the original, is the same as is translated surely by the words of Jesus. I remember that was yes. So it is, yes, I come quickly. Amen. Yes, come, Lord Jesus. So that is again that echo. You hear it, congregation. When the Lord's people begin to speak, they speak like Jesus. They learn to speak from him. That is by the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Oh, and that is how God's children can understand each other. Because they all speak that same spiritual language of Canaan. Then John says, Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Come. That is the fervent longing of a soul that desires the communion with Jesus. That is then a very earnest prayer, is it not? Amen, even so, come, Lord Jesus. He was not afraid, but he desired the coming of the Lord. Oh, he looked for the coming of the Lord. Bad Roest, an old exhorter in Scherpenzeel, a man with many exercises and a close life, was sometimes found looking through the window, looking upwards, and they said, but what are you looking for? He says, I am looking for the clouds if Jesus is coming. Have you ever done so? Blessed portion, if you may come to say with Jesus, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Oh, you know why that John desired the coming of Jesus. He desired that final deliverance from all the enemies, that all those onslaughters and assailants may be put down and cast into that lake burning with fire and brimstone. But then most of all, John says, even so, come, Lord Jesus. It was that he desired that Jesus would be magnified. The steps of Christ's exaltation are the resurrection, the ascension, the sitting at the right hand of his Father. And there is one more step pending. There is one more step still coming, and that is what John is now praying for. He loves that Savior so highly. He desires to magnify him so greatly that he says, even so, come, Lord Jesus.
He desired that Christ would have all the honor and be exalted forever and forever. Oh, then he desired also that he would have everlasting communion with him. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Set up thy kingdom at last. And Lord, wilt thou then take me to thyself? Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Oh, take me home. I am waiting for thee, O Lord. I bide thy coming. Oh, come and tarry not. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. That word come is a very strong word in the way it is written in the original. That does not mean that John is commanding the Lord. No, far from it. But it shows the fervent prayer of his heart that he desired so earnestly that Jesus would come. And that word coming means that the Lord would come with all the events that are taking place leading up to that final event. So what does that mean? When Jesus said, I come quickly, I am on my way, I am coming now. And then there is that echo in the heart of John, even so, Lord, thou art coming and continue to come until it is finished. So he is in harmony. He is in agreement. And he shall wait for God's counsel that everything shall be accomplished. Oh, he says, Lord, come. Come for my joy. Come for my salvation. Come and tarry not. Oh, that is a coming congregation that shall be to such untold gladness of thy people. But let the righteous blessed of yore joy in their God as never before faith's victory achieving. Exalt, exalt the name of God. Sing ye his royal praise abroad with fervent exultation. Cast up a highway smooth and wide that through the desert ye may ride. Jehovah our salvation. Oh, let Satan be bound forever. Lord, wilt thou get thy son exalted. Oh, that I may see the king in his beauty. That I may behold the land of Emmanuel, because glory dwells in that land. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Ah, congregation, have you ever had such longing? Have you ever had such desires in your life? Then you begin to sing. Then you begin to sing with fervent desires and longings. 189, Psalter 189, 1 and 4. Make haste, O God, to save, to help me, Lord, make haste. A shame confounded they shall be who would my life lay waste. 1 through 4 of 189. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Shall now such a petition ever be turned down? Shall such a prayer now go unanswered? Shall that be denied? That cannot be. That shall not be. Because the Lord Jesus promised, surely I come quickly. But what he says, what he means, is that until that time, there shall be given patience, there shall be given help from the Lord. And see then that old servant of God, John, receives this in his heart for himself and for the congregation, the church of all ages that needs to be encouraged in this. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So he receives a benediction. He receives that final blessing that he pronounces upon the church of all ages. He brings that benediction to that longing people of God. And he sums it up in those words, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Do we not also have that in the last chapter of 2 Corinthians? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and that comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Oh, it is that grace that comes then from the Father and that is then worked through the Spirit in the hearts of that people. And therefore John sums it up, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. That is now justifying grace. And that is now pardoning grace. That is that reconciling grace. That is that sanctifying grace. That is that persevering grace. That is that preserving grace. There is at last that glorifying grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And if there is no one here this evening who has to say, but my sins abound, then that grace of the Lord Jesus Christ does much more abound. Oh, that is now abundant. That is overflowing grace and mercy. That is able to reach unto the utmost parts of the earth congregation. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that is given unto the entire church from the moment that they are quickened. Sin, grace. Until the moment that they breathe their last, and then that grace is at an end, because then all that remains is glory for that dwells in Emmanuel's land. Oh, grace here below, that is the beginning of that heavenly glory. And the more grace that a sinner receives, the more heavenly minded that he becomes, the stronger the longings are to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, says John, be with you all. Oh, are there now any of those longing souls here this evening that say it is still a prayer day in my life and that shall continue until the end here below? It is true. But here is then that still small voice. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Oh, that grace shall lead you in the last remaining portion of your life. that grace shall accompany you in all the tribulations. In that fiery oven with the three friends, in that den of lions with Daniel, when thou passest through the waters, when thou goest over the mountains, when thou art in the midst of all those enemies, in your life of trouble and of sorrow, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Do you know where that grace will go, children of God? That will go with you in the valley of the shadow of death. Then he shall be with you, and his staff and his rod shall comfort you. That is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We be with you all. Oh, and then he shall you at last give you those glorious views, as Moses saw of that land of Canaan that is above. And through that grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the church here begins to thank the Lord. Because thanking is the employ in heaven. And that thanking and that praising the Lord is not strange for them here below. They learn the beginnings of it. And what shall they then say? Oh, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. They shall say, now thanks be unto Jesus Christ for that unspeakable love and mercy and faithfulness, that grace. And they shall say, oh, thanks be unto that Holy Spirit for his unspeakable comfort and leadings and sealing in the life of Zion. Oh, he shall carry you home. No matter what comes up against it, but he carries his people home, even as he would carry the lambs in his bosom. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Once more, one more final time in the scriptures is that blessed word, Amen. That is that divine seal. That is the divine oath. That is the divine certainty that these words are faithful and that they are true. Amen. That means now comes the beginning of that glory. Because that grace, as I said, that is the beginning of that glory. And then for the church it shall be true. So no more grace. For there shall be no more pain and no more sorrow, and no more enemies and no more enmity, and no more self. They shall be delivered from all of that. And then there shall be no more praises, no more prayers, because they shall be everlasting praises. And then my faith shall change into beholding. And then my hope shall be fully realized and never put to shame. Then love shall abide forever, and then that grace shall come, become that never-ending glory. Ah, oh, young and old, that is now the blessed portion of God's people. Oh, they have prayer day in their life, and they need it time and again. But church, once it shall be for the last time that we pray, and then forever, forever it shall be done. And then the hallelujah shall remain. And then we shall say unto thee, O Lord, shall be all the glory and all the power and all the thanksgiving. Oh, therefore, let me say that once again to those longing souls, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Most glorious, most merciful and gracious Lord, wilt thou apply the truth or forgive the many, many shortcomings, but that thou wouldest bless thine own word, congregation, Lord, to the congregation, and that thy Zion may also be strengthened a little in this day and evening, And that those who miss that great grace of the Lord Jesus Christ may still begin to receive a longing in their heart. Oh, it is not yet time, but the time is soon coming. That time shall be no more. Lord, will thou then yet take care of the congregation, the consistory, watch over them, work in their midst, and will graciously bless thy word and testimony unto many hearts. Lord, wilt thou hear us? Wilt thou give safety and traveling mercies unto those who travel also to us in the end of the week? Help us also once more on the day of tomorrow. Lord, we ask it, and that for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Let us now sing Psalter 31. Psalter 31, the third and the last stanza. O thou that say ever save us those whose trust on thee is stayed, preserving them from all their foes by thy almighty aid, let me thy loving kindness see, thy wondrous mercy, full and free. And then the fulfillment in 7:3 and 7 of Psalter 31. Now depart in peace and receive the blessing of the Lord.
the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.